I'm sure you can think of a few right now. Be nice, please. This is a family show. You might say loving or caring if you're really nice. But if you're just plain old real, you might say something like a lot of work. Or if you spent way too much time with your family, you might say nuts. But I think it's safe to say that wherever you fall in this family spectrum, the word complicated is the one size that fits all for all families, right? I'm adopted, and I recently found my birth father right before I moved here a year ago. And my half-sister visited here 2 weeks ago. I've met her twice. My mom and dad, who raised me, are coming to visit next week. You'll all meet them. They're completely adorable. And I just got off the phone this morning with my birth mom because my birth grandmother just turned 97. And the word complicated is really loaded for bear in my situation. I think if you think having one dad and one mom is complicated, try two. And then add a mother-in-law, who's great, by the way, just saying that, in case she's listening to my sermon later. I love you, Susan. I think you're great. You know, and then I went through 23andMe to find my, that's how I found my birth father, just by accident. And so, you know, relatives are popping up every day, every time I log on to the site, you know. So it's a blessing, really, it is. But complicated is most definitely the word that I would use to describe it. As you know, being blood relatives does not make you on the same page, nor does spending a lifetime with someone. In our gospel today, our Savior gives us a stark example of this. Biblical scholar Matt Skinner says that if you're looking for snapshots of well-adjusted and happy parent-child relationships from the ancient world, the Bible probably should not be on your short list of sources. He says that there are examples that Jesus' relationship with his family was strained at times, and our passage from Mark is an important source. He says that the closest translation of the part about Jesus' family is really, when his family heard what was happening, they came to take control of him. They were saying, he's out of his mind. Over the years, Bible translators and other gospel writers have cleaned up the relationship with Jesus' family to make it seem more like a Hallmark movie. The King James Version totally removes Jesus' family from this part of the scene. The New Revised Standard Version, which is what we heard today, puts the disparagement of Jesus in the mouths of others and not his family. Remember, it said, when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying he has gone out of his mind. The authors of Matthew and Luke just leave it out altogether, any mention that Jesus was crazy. Our gospel from Mark today compares Jesus' family to high-ranking religious leaders. And both groups in this passage fail to understand who Jesus really is. The religious authorities conclude that Jesus is possessed by Satan. And his family assumes that Jesus has lost his marbles. And in the ancient world, these diagnoses were roughly equivalent to each other. In both cases, no one can see Jesus for who he is. And all were perhaps confused by his radical message that threatened to disrupt society and social norms. You see, Jesus had amassed a kind of a rock star following. And there were crowds that flocked to hear him or touch him or just catch a glimpse of him. Jesus' family has come to sweep him away from these crushing crowds and the consequences of his political accusations. But Jesus resists the intervention of his mother and brother and sisters. Instead, he publicly embraces those gathered around him inside the overcrowded house. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Look here, are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother sister, and mother. This is great for all those people that are inside with him who want to identify with Jesus and what he's been teaching. And it's maybe not so great for his relatives on the outside and for others who hold tight to that old way of honor and social status. Jesus questions what at the time was the fabric of society, where you come from, who your people are, your ancestry, your place in society. You were born with wealth, status, or the lack of it. No one veered from their lane. But Jesus does, as he does so deftly, redraws these lines of family and belonging and status. Jesus floats the idea of what it might look like to belong to other people. He addresses cultural norms when he determines his true family, not by blood or kinship, but by doing the will of God. What does family mean now in our modern world? For Jesus, family, at least one kind of family, is a community of people joined as an expression of their commitment to discover and manifest God's will. I'm going to read that again. A family is a community of people joined as an expression of their commitment to discover and manifest God's will. If that's the definition, I would say wholeheartedly that we at St. Tim's are a family. But this inclusive notion of family opens the door for family to grow beyond what we could ever imagine. There are many groups that reflect God's dream and work for mercy and love and justice and holiness. By Jesus' ideas, there are family, even if they don't look like us or sound like us. You see, Christians have divided for centuries on who is in and who is out. Our own church split because of the debate of sexuality. But the very reality of God's presence in the world manifested through Jesus' humanity and his words and his actions continues to challenge our conventional ideas about what's real or normal or right or wrong. It turns things upside down, not change for change's sake, but so that we might reconsider just how family can be authentic manifestations of who God is and how God can be known in our world. Family that is related to us, family that is nothing like us, and family that we may not have ever met before. Loving, caring, a lot of work, nuts. When we work for God's kingdom, we are all family. We are family because we are part of the body of Christ working to promote God's will. We are family not because we vote the same or look the same or talk the same or marry the same, but because we love the same. We are human, to be sure. But in all of our differences and our brokenness, we are wrapped in grace and connected in the peace of God that passes all understanding. We are complicated. God bless our hearts. It's okay.